Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. That's Childish Gambino with This Is America, which won both Song of the Year and Record of the Year at the 61st Grammy Awards last night. Hosted by 15-time Grammy winner Alicia Keys, the night was full of performances, upsets, a few surprises, including an appearance by former First Lady Michelle Obama, who spoke about the power of music to tell stories.
From the Motown records I wore out on the South Side to the Who Run the World songs that fueled me through this last decade, music has always helped me tell my story. And I know that's true for everybody here. Whether we like country or rap or rock, music helps us share ourselves, our dignity and sorrows, our hopes and joys. It allows us to hear one another, to invite each other in. Music shows us that all of it matters. Every story within every voice, every note within every song.
You heard her, all of it matters. But the question that was on everyone's mind last night was whether everyone's story and everyone's voice would actually be represented, given the Grammys' historically fraught relationship with hip-hop and last year's near erasure of female artists among the winners. And also, what was J-Lo doing a Motown tribute? To share their takeaways from the night, I will be joined by Pooja Patel, editor-in-chief of Pitchfork, and Andrew Utenberger, senior editor at Billboard. Andrew, welcome to All of It.
Hey, thanks for having me, Allison.
So let's talk about that first big surprise of Michelle Obama. Why do you think the First Lady was there?
Well, I think they wanted to, you know, kind of get it out front and center that this was going to be a night of representation, especially for female artists. And, you know, Michelle Obama is almost borderline a performing artist at this point. She's on a book tour. She's selling out stadiums and arenas, and you know, she's a very, you know, strong voice, a very respected voice, and obviously, you know, as a former First Lady, about as good a representative as you would want to kind of kick off a night of equal representation for female artists.
There was definitely, Pooja, there was definitely that vibe of girl power throughout the entire evening. So many women were nominated. How many women actually won last night?
There was a huge representation of women winners last night. I think Casey winning Album of the Year was huge. And her made two big wins, and LMI won a big category. So I think that the entire room, I was actually at the show last night, and the entire room really felt that representation in a big way.
That's so interesting. So why don't you mention her, who won R&B Album of the Year. I believe her name is actually Gabrielle Wilson. Tell us who she is and why her win was significant, Pooja. Oh, we lost Pooja. Andrew, I'll throw that to you.
Sure. She's an interesting story because she was a fairly purposefully anonymous artist for a little while, and obviously, you know, down to her name, it's almost difficult to refer to her in conversation. You know, even as I'm talking now, it's sort of strange. But she hasn't had a ton of radio presence or chart hits yet, but she's kind of slowly built up her fan base over a variety of EPs and single releases and collaborations and a couple high profile award show performances leading up to last night. And you know, I think a lot of people are probably not that familiar with her when they saw her perform last night, but they maybe have heard her name, and now they have, you know, both a face and a song to put with the name. And I think her performance last night was one of the most impressive, kind of blended genres. She's nominated in the R&B categories, but it was also a fairly rocking performance, and you know, she plays guitar and she does really well. And I would say she's probably one of the breakout stars from the evening.
So Kacey Musgraves took home Album of the Year. It was a pretty big night for country music. And Musgraves, you know, she represents a niche progressive wing of country scene. She's an advocate for LGBTQ rights. And then you had also Brandi Carlile, who's openly gay, won 3 of her 6 nominations. We'll talk about them on the other side, but let's listen to a little bit of a performance from Brandi Carlile singing The Joke.
I've been to the movies, I've seen all it all.
Andrew, what do you think their prominence says about the state of country music right now?
Well, I do think it's encouraging for new and different voices, and for younger voices too. I mean, Brandi Carlile's been around for a fairly long time, but she's kind of she's hitting a new level of mainstream exposure with this album, and her performance last night I thought was pretty extraordinary. And Kacey Musgraves, she's been a critical favorite for a while. She had a couple radio hits at the beginning of her career about 5 years ago, but she hasn't really gotten the mainstream sort of exposure and play that she's deserved over her career, but she's received rapturous critical acclaim, and she's done fairly well at award shows like this. And now with this kind of high profile victory for her, it's really no telling where she can go from here.
My guests are Andrew Untenberger, senior editor at Billboard, and Pooja Patel, editor in chief at Pitchfork. So Pooja, in keeping with the girl power themes, there was a celebration of the D's, the divas Dolly and Diana Ross. Let's take a listen to a clip of Dolly singing with her goddaughter, Miley Cyrus. They were singing Jolene. Pooja, someone who was in the room last night, how did these moments land?
Oh, my God. That moment in particular was amazing. I mean, that to me was the best part of the Dolly tribute, though I have to say that 9 to 5 really resounded in the room, too, because I think that it is indicative of how women in the music industry are feeling right now, you know? So that moment was just, like, very, very special. And I think, honestly, it showed that country and Americana kind of spans generations, and it's, like, still very, very making a moment right now as well.
And Pooja, I want to get your take on Alicia Keys as host. She's a hometown girl for our New York listeners, and she took over hosting from LL Cool J, and, you know, we had this great set of her playing piano simultaneously, and she gave a shout-out to Hazel Scott. So in the context of this award ceremony, what do you think her role was last night, and how do you think she did?
It was so funny. She was the cool vibey aunt, right? she was the mediator for kind of everything that was going on, both culturally speaking in that room, and kind of where we are at the moment. But I thought that she was great, honestly. It's a very, very difficult job, and it was really important to have a musician who could sing. I mean, like, she came in there, she made an appearance in the Motown set, which could have used a couple of more R&B singers, I think. But she, you know, even that kind of loopy, interesting interlude that she did, I thought that was really special and really great. And I thought it was really nice to have a performer, like a true performer, host the Grammys this year.
Well, you brought up the Motown thing, Pooja. Andrew, I'm going to get you in here. This is one of those things that, is this an internet Twitter controversy, or is this a real thing? What we're talking about is there was this there was a tribute to Motown, and at the center of it was Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
And so there's this question of appropriation, appreciation. Why was it Jennifer Lopez and not Alicia Keys? What do you to make of it? Pooja, you go first.
You know, I think when you have Diana Ross and Smokey Robinson in the room, it feels a little strange that they weren't more of a focal part of that. And also, it would have been really nice to have Leon Bridges or her, or some of Toni Braxton, some of the R&B nominees in that mix, you know. I think, honestly, the Grammys, they're looking for celebrity entertainment here, you know, and I think that's kind of where J-Lo played her role.
What do you think?
When so many artists, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, when so many of the like big pop artists didn't attend this year, she kind of filled that role.
Andrew, what did you think when you saw it?
Yeah, I agree. It was a little bit of a square peg in a round hole. I mean, I think that they saw J-Lo's performance at the video. You know, she was the Video Vanguard recipient at the Video Music Awards last year, and it was a really, I think it was a really well-received medley performance of her greatest hits, and she has incredible energy, and she has a pretty good voice, and obviously she can dance as well as anybody. So it kind of makes sense for her to be a go-to for these sort of kind of pop review historical medleys. I agree that the Motown fit was a weird one. It's not necessarily, it's pop music, certainly, and it makes sense that it was music that she grew up with, as I think she said when introducing her performance. But it's not necessarily the kind of dance pop, dance-oriented pop that she sort of thrives with. And, it didn't necessarily make sense for her to be front and center, but I did like at least how they got Smokey Robinson in there. Neo showed up at the end for an interesting little Stevie Wonder bit. I didn't think it was a total failure, but I understand the kind of Twitter confusion around it because it wasn't really the most logical choice.
Yeah, the only thing I could get to sort of mentally taking the leap was that, especially when she started it, it was the glamour of the early, black women in music, like Diana Ross,
right,
and sort of the big hair and the homage of that 60s. But then after that, I lost it.
Yeah, I think it would have been fine to have her be part of it.
I will say that she could dance.
Well, go ahead. What did you say, Pooja?
I was just saying, being there, like, she can dance. And she was doing that part of the service very well.
My guests are Pooja Patel, editor-in-chief at Pitchfork, and Andrew Unterberger. He's the editor, senior editor at Billboard. Let's talk about Cardi B, the first solo female rapper to win Best Rap Album in this category. So, Andrew, how significant is this win?
That's pretty significant. I mean, as you pointed out, it's been a very male-dominated category over the years. I think the only other female artist to even win as part of a group was Lauryn Hill with the Fugees in, 1997. That's a long time ago, obviously. And Cardi B, she's kind of, she set all sorts of benchmarks for female rappers, just for rap in general. And, I think for a lot of people, this was her year the last year. I think a lot of people might have considered her either one of the favorites or one of the most deserving candidates for a couple of the biggest awards, and she was shut out of the big four categories. But Best Rap Album is a pretty good consolation prize, I think, and it's a fairly deserved one.
Pooja, I'm interested in what it felt like in the room, because I watched it on TV, and I was like, oh, that's kind of Josephine Baker-ish. But it was super sexually charged, as was Janelle Monáe, who was just a boss, but again, a really sexually provocative performance. Did it feel that way in the room? Because on a TV, it definitely felt that way.
I would say yes, it did feel that way in the room. One of the things that I was doing while I was there is it was really interesting watching the audience, watching her peers in the audience react to that in real time. And, I didn't feel like their energy was in the room for her during her performance. I felt like it was there for her win, but not necessarily for her performance. Whereas for Janelle Monáe, there were people standing up, there were people dancing. And I think that is just telling of the shift in hip-hop this year and what she signifies as a whole, to be honest.
What do you mean by that?
I think that, the fact that she is... There's so much about her that is considered party rap,
mm-hmm.
Like, her backstory is so interesting and unapologetic, and the Grammys have traditionally awarded kind of a more conscious hip hop, or favored a more conscious hip hop in general.
Mm-hmm.
When This Is America won an award in the room, the entire room erupted, And so it was just interesting seeing that in being in the room versus when I'm traditionally watching it from home.
Drake won for Best Rap Song, Andrew, and in his acceptance speech, he told fellow artists that winning wasn't really about receiving awards. Let's take a listen.
You've already won. If you have people who are singing your songs word for word, if you're a hero in your hometown, if there's people who have regular jobs who are coming out in the rain, in the snow, spending their hard-earned money to buy tickets to come to your shows, you don't need this right here. I promise you. You already won.
Now, was that a generous speech to his fellow nominees, or was that an elbow to award shows and the Grammys specifically?
probably a little bit of both. I didn't necessarily read it as much of a subtweet of the Grammys as some people did, but certainly there's that context there. And Drake and the Grammys have had kind of a fraught relationship the last few years. You know, he didn't attend when Views was nominated for Album of the Year a couple of years ago, and I think there was some reports that he didn't even submit his last album, More Life, for Grammy consideration, which is pretty unusual. And I think most people were pretty surprised that he even showed up this year, because he does sort of have a history as a Grammy no-show. And it's interesting, not only the speech he gave, but the fact that it ended up arguably inadvertently, maybe somewhat on purpose, getting cut off halfway through, because he seemed to be pivoting to another point, which maybe would have, I don't know, either countered or added to the original point he was making. But we'll never know. And in the meantime, the Grammys, they'd asked Drake to perform this year, and he had turned them down. And now you have to kind of wonder if he got to make a speech and he got to win an award, but he was cut off halfway through. Is this going to even hurt his relationship with the Grammys even further? Or is he not going to show up next year for an award show that has a lot of damage control to do with its reputation and its relationship with hip hop? That was probably not the best move on their part.
Pooja, you want to add something?
Yeah, I will say that it seemed we heard about a half of a second more than I think the people that were watching from home did, and it did seem like his butt was going to lean towards, but thank you for recognizing the song. So to me, I mean, from watching it live, it felt like he was making his point and then also saying, thanks for seeing this, and I'm done.
It's interesting. There have been a couple of controversies around this particular Grammys. Early on, Ariana Grande, who arguably has one of the biggest records of last year, was scheduled to perform. And she opted out the last minute. And then there was a sort of very public back and forth between Grande and the show's producers about artistic license and creativity and contribution and collaboration. Did that have any impact on the ceremony? Were people talking about that at all, Pooja?
People weren't really talking about it at the ceremony, but I do think that everyone was wondering where the big musicians were, there was no Rihanna, no Taylor Swift, no Ariana, no Lorde, no Kendrick, no Childish Gambino. And I think that one of the big things that the Grammys will have to figure out is how to give that agency back to the artists that are so crucially important every year. So Ariana making that sort of statement, it does show that the Grammys will have to cede some of their control, their creative control, back to the artists, I think.
And Andrew, last night's ceremony included a reel of people in the music community expressing gratitude for Recording Academy President Neil Portnow. He's departing at the end of his contract in July. His departure, though, was announced after he made a couple of comments last year after women weren't well represented. And he said women did, quote, step up. And in fact, I think it was Dua Lipa made a comment about that after she won. Mm-hmm. I guess women stepped up. How do you think he is going to be remembered? And do we know who's taking over?
I'm not sure about the second part of your question. For the first part, how he's going to be remembered, I think the step-up comment will probably stick in the minds of a lot of people, and it's the sort of thing that it became such an explosive news item that if you know one thing about Neil Portnow from the last few years, this is probably the thing. So I don't know if he's going to be able to kind of erase that part of his legacy, but to his credit, I mean, it was a much more diverse Grammys. It was a much more representative Grammys. I think of the 18 performances last night, there were only three that didn't feature a lead female artist in some capacity. There were more female winners, not only in the major categories, but in the genre categories as well. And just an incredible array of performers, even devoid of gender, all genres, generations, interesting hybrids. I thought it was a really good show in that respect. Is it good enough to erase Step Up? Probably not. And the fact that Dua Lipa continues to kind of reference it and keep it alive, give it more oxygen, kind of shows that. But I think in terms of the actual content of the Grammys, I think he probably couldn't have done a whole lot better than this.
Pooja, before I let you both go, your favorite moment and a win you were happy about as music critics, you thought, yeah, that's right. What do you think, Pooja?
My favorite moment would have to be Brandy's performance. I just think it was such, in a show that is working towards representation, that song and her performance of it was just so impactful. And then for win, I mean, Casey, I'm so happy she won.
And Andrew, for you?
For me, I was happy to see St. Vincent win Best Rock Song for Mass Seduction, which she performed part of with Dua Lipa at the Grammys last night. The rock categories have traditionally been very staid and very traditional, and they go to bands that have, you know, already released 20 albums, and this is just number 21, and they've also been traditionally very male over the years. So to see St. Vincent, you know, an exciting performer, a female performer, someone who's actually kind of trying to push the genre forward instead of just kind of rehashing old glories, I thought that was pretty cool.
My favorite was LMI freaked out when Alicia Keys was singing Boot Up.
Oh my God, yes.
Just a moment of pure sweetness and cuteness. My guests have been Pooja Patel, editor-in-chief at Pitchfork, and Andrew Unterberger, senior editor at Billboard. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to go out with a song. Kacey Musgraves won Album of the Year, Golden Hour. Here's High Horse by Kacey Musgraves.